Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
As we welcome Thabiseng Dubazana, can you hear how angry people are? Can you hear how angry people are? I mean, that's just, yeah. I mean, the mood in the country right now, I think people are on edge. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. How are you feeling? How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good. Yeah. How are
I think
you?
That I think that goes for many people.
Yes.
I think people are exhausted. People are disillusioned. People, I think there's a lot going on that I think, yeah, we need to be... We need to be kinder to one another.
To each other, yes.
We need to be kinder to
yes,
one another.
Yes, we do.
Thabiseng, you've got a lot on the go. Where do you want to begin?
I wanted to talk about one of your favorite topics. Whenever we talk
Tell
about
us.
The workplace and you trying to fight for your rights, you always say, guys, don't do it.
Steady. Easy does it.
You know? So in this particular case, it is Roberts versus Mabuza. It was decided on the 2nd of July. So Miss Mabuza was on probation for about 3 months. And in that probationary period, she was receiving a salary of about 30,000 rand. And then when she was then put on a permanent contract, the salary reduced to 27,000 rand. So she wanted to find out the reason behind this reduction. So this is where you always go like, guys, know when you stand for your rights, it's going to be problematic. Mm-hmm. And this is what she did. She went to her line manager, Mr. Roberts, and then said, please help me understand what is happening. Mm. How do I lose 3,000 rand without there being a discussion with me, without anything? So you're unilaterally changing my contract without having to discuss with me. And while she's having this discussion with her line manager, didn't Mr. Roberts get all upset? Who are you? Who do you think you are? And throwing all sorts of profanities her way. So luckily, she was recording the conversation. I suppose she already had
a sense.
Yeah, that it's not going to go so well. So there were F-bombs thrown in the middle of this discussion. She was told that she is an a-hole. And it was really bad. And then thereafter, she kind of stepped back a little bit, trying to deal with what is happening and still at work. And then eventually she decided, no man, I'm going to open up a criminal injuria case, which is basically the criminal version of defamation of character. And then also I'm going to get a protection order against this man, because in spite of that particular incident, the work environment had become quite hostile. So she relied on the Protection Against Harassment Act instead of the Domestic Violence Act, because they do not really have a domestic relationship. So the criminal case, from what I understand, is still ongoing. It was finalized but was not mentioned in this. I'm not quite sure about the criminal part. But the lower court granted her protection order. And then Mr. Roberts took it on appeal to say there are absolutely no grounds for a protection order to be granted.
So let's just go there a little bit, because how would a protection order work in a situation where this is your line manager?
Yes. So I don't have access to her papers, unfortunately. But from what you can read in this case, it sounds like because the section that she was relying upon dealt with the harassment in making the workplace... Under Section 1 of the Protection of Harassment Act, which defines harassment as conduct knowingly or reasonably likely to cause harm, including verbal communication that inspires fear or distress. So that is what she relied on when it came to this particular act. And then she opened up the case in the match court, which was granted. And then it was taken on appeal by Mr. Roberts. In his papers, Mr. Roberts says, harassment requires either repetitive or oppressive conduct or a single act of overwhelming oppressiveness that torments the victim, right? Roberts' counsel argued that the language constituted mere workplace banter.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no. So what does he sound like when he's fighting?
Exactly. If you're going to be dropping F-bombs and A-holes in a situation such as that. And then also he cited that her delay in seeking legal advice shows that it really was neither was here nor there. It was banter. So why is she throwing her toys?
What a wow.
And then the court looked at his argument, then looked at Ms. Mabuza's papers and said that whether she came late or not, it's irrelevant, listening to what was put.
So can I just ask?
Yes.
You know the issue of recorded content?
Yeah.
Is usually contested whether it's admissible or not.
Correct.
What makes it admissible or not admissible?
So we need to put it through the test. So recorded evidence is what we call real evidence.
Mm.
So to determine whether it wasn't tampered with or not, it has to go through a whole test.
Oh, I see.
So if you can prove it wasn't tampered with, if you can prove it's from the original source and all of those things, and it ticks all the boxes under the evidence check, then it can be admitted real evidence.
Got you. So this one, she was able to submit it. Okay.
And also another thing is that there's always this thing that you can't record me when I'm having a conversation.
Yes, especially when you have not asked for permission.
Yes. But if I am part of that conversation, I do not have to request your permission to record that conversation. It's a different situation when it's the two of you and I leave a recording device.
Ah.
I ought to have requested permission from the two of you. But if I'm part of this conversation, I can record it.
Guys, we learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So if it's a conversation between myself and another person.
Yes.
I have every right to record the conversation.
It's not
without
illegal.
Asking you.
It's not illegal.
Yo.
Yes.
If I'm sitting here, when Ale Mudibedi are having a conversation,
yeah.
I'm not allowed to record it without asking for your permission.
That's correct.
How would anyone know who recorded it?
Usually the source, the recording
we
can
have
be
to
traced.
Prove. We have to prove
correct.
Which device was
yes.
recording. Okay,
yes.
Got you.
So we will see it came from this particular phone or this little recording device or whatever, and then it was transferred from this device to the next device. That transference, we would have to determine whether or not it was tampered with.
What happens in this situation where a witness provides
yeah.
the content? Not admissible.
A witness in
yes,
the sense?
Third party. So I witness the two of you fighting.
Okay.
And because of, for my safety, whoever else's safety in the room, I just record. I don't intervene, but I record. And then I become a witness in the case.
That is then viewed as hearsay evidence. It can be provisionally accepted into the record, provided that the people who are involved in that fight, in that altercation, can come and confirm it in one form or another. But if it's your evidence that for what, if let's say you have the recording.
It's me maybe witnessing a road rage incident and something very bad happened.
Yes.
And I want to say, I saw this, I recorded it, and I'm willing to stand and, you know, and support whoever as a witness.
If that recording can be authenticated, great. It can be used in evidence, and then your evidence automatically turns from hearsay to actual evidence in court.
Okay.
The only thing that the defense attorney most likely will try and distort or try and get into is to whether or not it's authentic, whether it went from your dash cam
and
tempered
with.
And
it was not tempered with.
Yeah.
But I can still provide, content that I may have recorded without your permission.
Correct.
But also submit that if I wanted to as a third party.
Yes, yes. And especially the example you just gave, the one of road rage, so it's like it was the situation of the three of us.
Yes, it wasn't the three.
Like
I was
it just happened
yes.
to be there.
Yeah.
That situation is always admissible. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Okay, so in this instance then, Mr. X, who was using profanities,
yes.
his defense was that it was banter and it took too long.
Yeah. And then the court looked at it and said, well, looking at one, listening to the manner in which this exchange was happening, saying it's workplace banter, you're lying. It's not true. And you did use your power dynamics in this situation to show, to give Mabuza distress. So as a result, we will not take your defense or any reasoning that is coming from you. We are upholding this particular protection order. And then they also added that the magistrate court decision to grant the order was upheld, and then the verbal abuse met the threshold for harassment. They also requested that this matter also be added to the criminal case for criminal injury. So two counts now instead of just the one count. So I would love to know, if Ms. Mabuza is listening, what happened to the criminal case? Because that won't automatically get reported because it's in the match court.
Again, would we have a sense of how the dynamics would be, would play themselves out? So would it be a situation where they say he cannot physically be alone with you? Maybe you need to communicate via email?
So the dynamics would be in a manner that would obviously suit...
Protect.
Yeah, protect her, but also suit the kind of environment that is there. So if the company... Cause it doesn't
or maybe
say,
move a department.
That's what perhaps, I was going to say. That Mr. Roberts must not no longer be managing
she
her.
She mustn't report to him. Some,
exactly. So that would be the situation that would change in that aspect.
Let's talk about the 30,027. Was that ever resolved?
Doesn't sound like it was, because of a lot
because
of
the issue, the nub of the issue still
was
remains.
That? Yeah. So, if we could ever find out who Ms. Mabuza
she would then, in this scenario.
Yeah.
She would then take this to what would be the next option?
The CCMA. It would be unfair labor practice because the employer would have unilaterally changed the employment contract without engaging her.
I'm laughing. People are afraid.
Yes.
People are afraid because you go to the CCMA and then what?
You get your order.
And then you're fired 6 months from there.
No, if you get fired, because how many cases in this last 2 to 3 weeks have we read whereby people are fired as a result of fighting for this and they take it to the labor court and they win and they're vindicated?
Ah, let me see.
You
won't and then you're gonna what is it? Is it one month per year? What they pay you in
that's
equivalent,
retrenchment.
An equivalent of 1 month.
One week's pay for every year you
a
have.
Week it's even worse
yes.
Not even a month
yes
a week equals
pay.
A year
yeah
who's going to risk getting an equivalent a year equals 1 week's pay as your payout really
actually that's retrenchment being dismissed is a different situation even the retrenchment it can still be deemed unfair dismissal because of the manner in which it was dealt with.
Hey,
be nicer. Give people hope.
No. I just think we need to know what tools we have at our disposal and what would be the best case scenario. Because in a situation like this, HR maybe?
Yes. You see, the thing about HR, what I've discovered is that most companies' HR departments are not up to date with the law. So whatever code of conduct that they have doesn't conform to the LRA.
Really?
It doesn't conform to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. It doesn't conform to the Employment Equity Act.
Really?
So now when you take on, for example, I don't think it's part of this, but I was reading part of the case we're going to deal with today, but I was reading a case whereby the complainant was dismissed for being intoxicated at work.
Yes.
So what happened in that situation is that Ntabi Singh, who's the employee, did a breathalyzer test. Mind you, a breathalyzer test is not even admissible in criminal court.
I thought so, yeah.
You know? So now...
because you need to go get a blood test.
Correct. To see the blood alcohol content in your blood. So the employer has a strict no drinking, non-intoxication policy. Mm. When he blew into the thing, it showed that he was intoxicated and was dismissed immediately. So with the code of conduct, it is first offense dismissal. But he challenged it and said that I wasn't drunk. I had the flu. That
so
morning,
I've got the medication.
Yes, I was on medication. They refused to accept that. And then he took it to the CCMA. The commissioner then, the commissioner took it and accepted it as
that's
truth.
That's such an interesting case because if you are intoxicated versus you being on medication.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the result is the same.
Okay.
your faculties.
Very
are,
true.
Right? Ultimately,
that's what they were trying to argue, actually.
The results are the same.
Yes.
Whether it's ethical or not, it doesn't matter. The results remain the same. Mm. And I do appreciate the fact that with some companies, I know a lot of companies where even walking into the premises, even as a visitor drunk, you wouldn't be allowed in. If it's a factory or whatever, it's a health hazard.
Yeah.
So the bigger question is, what policy does the employer have for someone then who would be on medication? Is the policy to say, if you're ill and you're on medication, stay home?
That's the question. That's the main question, actually. That's what the court, the labor court, in the review application said, to say your code of conduct doesn't cover other aspects.
Correct.
It just says intoxication.
Because he should not be allowed at work, even if it's just the flu medication.
Correct. And then his job, he was a forklift controller.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So then why do you force people to come to work when they're sick?
When they're ill.
If they are going to be on medication,
yes,
which will then also have the same result as being, having had a glass of wine or alcohol, whatever the case may be, the results would be the same.
100%. And then the court, the CCMA, actually agreed with what you are saying and said, well, your dismissal of this guy makes absolutely no sense. Mm. You do not look at the entire picture. You just focus on a breathalyzer test.
But also, if the policy would have been that if he had not presented to work, he would have been fired anyway.
Correct.
Because they don't allow him room to be sick and to stay. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And also, you failed as the employer to prove that he was impaired at the time that he was doing his work. All you've had was a breathalyzer test. And then this is the commissioner gave him, said that the dismissal was unfair. And the labor court accepted that as true, because the employer, when they lost in the CCMA and reinstatement with back pay was the order,
mm-hmm,
then the employer's like, no, we're taking it to the labor court. And the labor court said, oh, no, we agree with the commissioner. So now the question is, are they going to take it to the labor appeal court because they don't agree with the labor court? But
All right, let's take those calls. We're opening up the lines now, 086-000-0959. You can send a voice note as well on 063-688-0959. Any legal question, any query, anything that you need clarity on, and Thabiseng is here. Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Good evening, Phumela and Thabiseng. Just want to ask a quick question. Let's say my mother passed away, and she was working for a specific company which I can't name. So there was a pension fund that she had. So they asked me to collect certain documents. I wasn't aware of that pension fund up until I was contacted by a tracing company. And I checked and called and investigated. The tracing company was legit. Then I went forward and submitted the documents to them. Then they submitted the documents to Alex Forbes. So Alex Forbes was sent all the documents. So they asked me to, for my mom's membership number that she used at work. So those people said they don't have those kind of documents anymore, because it's been over like 10 years and the company's name has also changed. So they don't keep documents for longer than 10 years. So I'm having a problem accessing or getting that money because of that membership number. So I wanted to know, how can I go forward with this, or is it the end of the road? That's what I wanted to know.
It shouldn't be the end of the road.
No, it shouldn't be.
But whoever it is that you are dealing with either doesn't know that you have, you just give them your mother's ID document.
And then they trace it.
And you know, this irritates, because every single year you have all kinds of organizations coming out and saying people's monies are sitting where they should not be sitting. People need to be paid out. And some administrator makes life so difficult for a family that it's their money.
Mm.
It's not your money, whoever you are sitting there not knowing what you're doing.
We actually assisted a lady went through something like this, and she had been retired for about
six years. Old money.
Old money.
Some people, it's 20, 30 years.
Yes.
So what membership number? Employment number?
It doesn't make any sense. So all you need to do is go back
escalate
to them. Yeah. was going to say that.
Say to that lady or whoever, I want your manager.
Your manager.
Can I speak to someone else,
yes,
ma'am or sir or whatever?
Yeah.
Just say, can I speak to someone else?
Yeah.
And then if they say no, ask for the one above.
And if, copy the legal department.
If no, just write an email.
Yes.
It's just keep going.
Yes.
Just keep going.
You will get that money.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
All right. Njabulo is in Pretoria. Hi, Njabulo.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Njabulo, yeah? Better than you.
Good,
yeah,
man.
I just need some clarity on winding up my mother's estate.
Yes.
You appointed a bank as an executor. You state it simple with just a car and a house. Both are fully paid up, and like the liabilities amount to less than 50,000. The bank administrator law firm has just in turn appointed another law firm for some unspecific additional work on the estate. And they demand us as the children, to pay cash for some shortfall, including fees, for the second law firm. So my question is, why should we pay for the two law firms when the bank appointed only one administrator? And then the other one, does the 3.5% executive fee cover those expenses? We had our explanation of the fault that the bank officials ignore our email and demand we pay or else the RCB options. So how can we make sure that the bank sells the car instead and close to market value instead of auction? We still have the car at home. And then how do we get an explanation from the shortfall and the proper communication from the executive bank officer who ignores us? And also just that we've got the keys for the house, but we're getting a problem with the caretaker to access the complex because she says we need a letter written from the lawyers that permits us to enter the premises.
Yeah.
Okay, so first things first, I heard you say that the matter is with the bank, yes?
Yes.
So mom had a will?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. See, this is why I really don't... I'm not a huge fan of wills with financial institutions because you have to pay premiums and stuff for them to work. So if there's no money in your account, that's why you're paying the shortfall because the attorneys that are being appointed by the banks are demanding money from the banks because that's what they expect. If you had the will with a private attorney, not associated with the bank, their fees would come directly from the 3.5% that you're making mention of. The one thing that usually happens that we request like maybe a deposit of like 10,000 rand, not much, that we can cover disbursements. So like advertising in the Government Gazette, stuff like that, right? And then the rest of our fees we get from the 3.5%. Now, so that's answering the question of why it is you're paying these other attorneys plus the bank, because the bank is expecting you to pay. They work from a premium. It means your account or your mom's account has now been bled dry. With regard to the accessing the property, who is appointed as the executor in terms of the will? Is it the bank? Yeah, that's another problem. I wish mom would have discussed this with you guys so that in the will she can nominate any one of you as the executor of the estate. So what you need to do is request the bank to give you power of attorney to go and have access to the banks. That's why the estate people or people running that house are seeking for a letter that comes from the attorneys, because you are not the executors of the estate. And because the estate is now running low on any sort of fund, I'm telling you now that it's not going to get wound up anytime soon.
Because they want to accumulate money.
Correct. And because you guys are paying as minimal as you can, you're not meeting the minimum threshold of the bank. So, you know, you may have to sit down as a family and decide whether or not you want to have that particular bank be removed as the executor of the estate and then appoint somebody else, one of you guys be appointed as executor. But yeah, those are the reasons that are basically hindering you finalizing your matter.
Just maybe guide him on, if they make that decision, how do they go about that?
So what you would do is then you would terminate the mandate of the executor. But the one problem, but you, I wonder what the will says. If the will says, mentions you guys as beneficiaries or heirs in one form or another, then you have grounds to make an application and a request.
No, it does.
Great. Then you're going to write them a letter and terminate their mandate. They are going to want their fees. I'm not going to try and lie to you about that. They're going to want their fees. And then once you've terminated that, you need to inform the Master of the High Court that you have terminated your agent and the executor to be removed. And then once the executor has been removed, the original papers that that you file when you're doing deceased estates, one of those papers is called the next of kin affidavit. That next of kin affidavit is where in all you as the kids are going to agree whom will be the executor of the estate. Hell, you can all be joined executors if you want, but it makes it unnecessarily complicated. So choose one who will then be the executor of the estate, and then you appoint an attorney's firm who will be your agent just to wind it up, draft your LNDs, because I'm sure you don't even know if there's an LND drafted yet.
No.
You are Bona. So that means a lot of things haven't happened. You should ask questions such as, okay, after you filed the initial papers, have you at least advertised the estate in the Government Gazette and the newspapers? Get the answer to that. Have you drafted an LND? What does it look like? Sorry?
Our problem also is that we're trying to communicate with these people, and they say to get back to us and give us a clear answer.
It's that thing I was talking about.
Why did you guys give a certain amount of money? What was the cost behind it?
Yeah.
What happened along this committee?
Yeah.
So they're not, they just want to auction the car, what is it, the house, but we're also telling them that we've got the house, we don't want to auction it, we don't want to sell it. The car we can get rid of and then get that money and then be able to pay them off. And then whatever is remaining, and then we can have an agreement on how we pay it off.
You see, that's the problem, because
you guys are too clever. they don't like that.
And because you want to sell the property, they want to sell the property, the house, it's because the estate is insolvent. There's no money. That's why they want to sell the property.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I just spoke to my brother. So he says, yes, it has been drafted, and we have an IMG, because he's the one that's actually dealing with this. So he just asked me to just call him and just ask me questions.
Okay. If the LND
has been drafted,
has it been accepted by the master? Has the master accepted it? If so, then it should be, you start the process of paying the creditors and all of that. And if there's no money to pay the creditors, that's why they're saying you must sell your property.
Yeah. All right.
If there are any trouble, as any more problems, call next week and see if we can help you move this forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right then, Njabulo there in Pretoria. Onika in Springs. Hi, Onika.
Hello, this is Pumela.
Hello,
this is Tabishe.
Hello, ma.
Hello. Last time I phoned you, I had a problem with my property being on the verge of being sold on auction because I was behind on payments.
I think I remember, yes.
Yes, and then you said to me, there's nothing I can do. They will sell the property.
Mm.
But then God being God, the house was sold on auction.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who bought the house on auction, they failed to pay
the
money that they were supposed to pay.
Mm.
Nah? And where I was working at the time, they offered me, I could say, an opportunity for me to take a retrenchment.
Oh, nice.
And then, and then I took the retrenchment, and then I went and paid the house.
Mm.
So the house now is paid.
Oh, we're so happy to hear that.
What a lovely story. Thank you so much for that feedback.
So now my problem is, I was paying insurance on the property.
Okay.
With one of the well-known insurance companies.
Mm.
thing is when you pay insurance for a house, the bank that gave you the bond, they pay the insurance annually.
Mm-hmm.
Like they pay it once and then they deduct it from me mm-hmm. every month.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid off the house, I think it was in October
mm-hmm.
last year. Né? So the bank did paid the insurance, the money for the insurance to the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
So me, not because I know that I've paid them, I no longer owe them.
Mm-hmm.
I relaxed thinking that, no, I'm settled, I've paid. They promised to send me the paid up letter. The paid up letter. They've never sent it to me. Mm. Now what's bothering me now is they keep on sending me messages telling me about Equick Cell.
Mm.
Is it the bank or the insurance?
The bank.
Okay.
They're sending me messages telling me about the Equick Cell.
Mm.
These Equick Cell messages that I'm receiving are the same as the ones that I used to receive before I paid up the house.
Mm.
Now, the problem is I phoned them wanting to understand what are these messages for. Why do they keep on calling me? They said to me, no, we paid your insurance, so now we want that money back from you. I said to them, no, I'm no longer interested in that insurance company. And I was not told when I paid off my property, I was not told that I should also cancel the insurance of the house. And yeah. I must also inform you, they said I must also inform them in a form of a writing
yes.
that I no longer want to continue with the bond.
Yeah.
Of which the email I wrote and I sent it to them.
Yeah.
Now the problem is these SMSs that I keep on receiving that are telling me about the Equick Cell. Now I'm terrified that the history is going to repeat itself.
Mm.
What if in the long run they'll end up saying to me, no, we've been sending you these messages, you didn't respond, now we are taking the house back to auction.
No, it wouldn't be that, because if the actual bond has been paid off, I do not believe they have a leg to stand on for auctioning the property. So what would happen though is they'll probably send out a summons, if at all, saying that you owe them X amount, because even if it's an annual payment, it's probably 20,000-30,000 or whatever for the annual payment of the insurance. But yes, unfortunately they do these insurance things without telling you, but then it'll be in your contract. So they would say, but it's in clause number 5 under paragraph mamang, you know, wherein the insurance would be talked about. So what I would suggest is that you would send a letter / email to the legal department highlighting all of this, send your proof of payment, send the email that you just sent wherein you're terminating what they asked you to terminate, and then request a written response from legal. Legal will be able to tell you that in order for us to close off your account, we will need payment of the insurance money that was paid to this amount, and then you can then enter into a settlement agreement with the bank in order to pay this insurance money off to them, whether I get it 200 rand or 2000 rand that you can pay per month until it is done. It is not linked to the property, it's insurance, so don't stress about that. Okay
So the title did thingy.
Oh, you know, sit on them.
Since I'm no longer employed, I asked them about my title deed. They said, no, they cannot give the title deed to me. I must get a lawyer who can acquire that title deed for me. I'm unemployed. How am I going to pay the lawyer?
No, go to legal aid. Legal aid should be able to request that, because you don't need a... Are they trying to say that you need a conveyancer, not a lawyer, I think? Because technically... Okay. If not literally, the property is still under their name as the bank. They are the owner of that property. So they need to transfer it into your name. Mm. So they want you to get a conveyancing attorney.
And transferring is a money
issue. It's a money issue.
Monica.
So you would need to get a conveyancer who would then charge you the transfer costs from the bank to them. And then the title deed can now be written in your name. Because where it is now, it's still in the name of the bank.
So legal aid cannot be my conveyance.
No, no, no. They don't have conveyance as in legal aid. I would suggest, because Mitzi is a great conveyancer.
You had a conveyancer,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. So what I would suggest is that you call Masina Attorneys. I'll give the information.
Onika, we'll just go back to our producer, and then we will give you the details of the conveyancer that may be able to assist you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Onika. Anonymous, Anonymous has been waiting for a while. Shame. Anonymous, thank you so much for calling and being so patient. Hi.
Hello, Queen.
Hello. How are you?
One property has to be sold. Two properties, five siblings. Two siblings in a house that has to be sold. Three siblings in a house that has not to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
So in that house to be sold, one sibling will talk about.
Okay.
And then I told him about Anabana.
Go tlokofetse mme le ngwana. Monna o wa bana. Ke ena o tlileng after go tlokofala mme. It's a fraud. Anka ntlu around that estate.
I see. And ntlo eno ne se ya mme. Tshwantse be ne tlhotse di ID le permission tsa bana ba mme yena as well. Okay.
Three generations.
Ba 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 tlile tsa rona.
Because Nelidi the executor, ne? Nelidi the executor. So, in other words, Luna Kiluna ba me wa Luna ala pointileng as the executor, or let me say beneficiaries as the tia hai.
Aye, kure executor no liye na wana go aiki la
phone. Abatokofal.
Aye, aki eno tokofesi.
Oh.
Otokofesi nke na wenze fraud to extend.
Yasoka iti nke na wenze fraud.
Aye, opila.
Ophelang
e kere ke le spone
okay ke
se bona ba o tlokofetse motho na ngwa di tseli o tlokofetse le ba ngwa di tseli go tlhoga re tswang ba di tshu ntaka according to the will ntlo le tshwetse ba ere ke se yo ka re ba sa utlwana wa bona
okay
so me a re tshwetse ba ere ke se ntlo na ba share tshele ya bona
okay
ene ngwa tse jwalo in the will okay
so le mo ga eno.
I think he's
gone. We've lost him. We've lost him. Okay. It's a fight.
Yeah.
It's an internal fight. But let's get him back, because I think the issue here is that one of them did not consult the other,
yes,
or took the IDs and pretended to be
that there was consent.
That they were given consent. Let's just see if we can get him back. Let's take a voice note.
Good evening to both Pamelo and Ntabiseng. I have a question. I went to the doctor yesterday and the doctor did an x-ray. I'm on medical aid, and my, as far as I know, my medical aid covers the x-rays because I did them before. But today I get an SMS that the medical aid did not cover for the x-rays that I did yesterday. So I have to pay the doctor where they performed the x-ray. I just want to know where I stand on this. Do I take it up with my medical aid, or do I take it up with the doctor? And my follow-up question being, aren't doctors supposed to check with the medical aid first if whatever they are performing is not covered or is covered? And if it's not covered, they're supposed to tell me that, ma'am, this is not covered, so you will have to pay cash. Thank you very much.
Well, there's so many things that are supposed to happen. Eh?
Yeah, no, there's many.
I could say, I'm really not laughing, but the areas are so murky,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes, and it would be nice if you had called in, because it depends also on the medical aid, the number one, number yep. two, on the kind of
savings, maybe.
Yeah, the kind of cover you have.
Yeah.
And sometimes, depending also on the plan, sometimes the medical aid scheme that you're on specifically only works with specific doctors and service providers. Mm. Sometimes it's that. It's not the money. It's about, is this particular person a practitioner, specialist, a doctor, a physician, in that list of approved service providers? Right. Sometimes that's what it is.
Yes.
It's not how much you have. It's whether this person is approved according to your medical aid and the way they work.
Mm.
Sometimes they fall outside of the full amount that would have been paid. So maybe you've been asked to pay the balance or the extra bit. Sometimes you've run out of money. Sometimes your practitioner was supposed to ask you permission, but they didn't ask you permission if they could go ahead. Sometimes it was an emergency and there was no time to ask you.
Yes.
So it could be all of the above. If
so
you can maybe clear it up. Clear it up. Ask the medical aid why they did not pay.
Yes.
But also ask if there was a claim that was sent through. Mm. You can also ask that.
Yeah.
And then you'll know whether to go back to the doctor or to pursue it with the medical
Correct.
Aid. 100%. I think Anonymous is back. Okay. Anonymous?
Hello?
Hello, Ntate. So
yeah, Ligani.
Right. No. Araud. Okay. Ntabi say Negir Moena Rico Kai no. So story sen as Phil is Mokai.
Oh, I can read it. I look at my low recent to America
and
how
can
you
go to airport?
Oh, Utahabuto, the next time we sign, you can't tell about Christmas. And I said, we fine, and I go on. I go high. I do what I was told. You know, the county and sorry to do for this. The local family has a cure. I want anything. Yes, I wouldn't cry. No one. And then I want to put that way. I do what I did. I No one.
So I go just
we fine. I didn't think you can. Let's see, can you put about a son back?
Emma Pilhanya Motoki Munawa Wanakoluna or Kingwanakolun.
You wanna coluna less for long one yan.
You
Mulele case. That's all I'm gonna say. Mulele case ya fraud, a criminal case because she went against the wishes some Motuadia Ger. Motuadi usile instruction eso ya ba yena wetsang o nka short left halamo fa consent halamo fa permission re ntlo e rekiswe
interview
case akere o hana go tsa
di according to the need tsanje rekisiwe
wa bona
ba bangwe tse ba lituli me wa ba me wa o tsoka go tsi me wa bana bana
and did they get the money now
so yena na tshwantse a fe o mong ha o ne
yeah and then rona ba tse sa rekiseng akere
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Hey, hi, Buholu Jolo. It's still Naki Jolo. I can't really stop for my family.
Harai. We're not building here.
Okay.
Hey. Lawyer. Oh, Akerbuzi. Lonale Matweza. lona as family.
Yeah.
Le batlo etsa yang le batlo etsa le batlo motshwarisa.
No re ke le ne re tsisa dilo re bitire re le kise ya motho.
Ah mapile are bua ka ele engwa e rekiste. Le batla meeting le batla o lukisa le batla etsa.
Ei sho re di bua re tsa tsiwa ke na. Ke na mshimane ke liwa ne ba le po a ke tsinna. Jono ba three ba setsi.
Yeah.
Ba dumela na le yena o bona.
I want to be safe, you see.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
So meeting Elena Lignona, mobile Lorulo Motoris.
I was meeting last weekend, so I was going to the radio station.
Police station. And then from there, we'll take it from there. Finish.
Simple.
I can't, I rekisa, permission.
But I don't know.
Chanzo tole case number. Yes. Tole case number and then we can take it forward.
We sell Willy and how about like case number? So I made a Willy or Bonto Willy Nereso and then
Moto Abata Milo Ritis as a label.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go to the window.
Finished. Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Thank you.
Yes, I just needed to clarify on the matter of this medical aid.
Oh, wow, X-ray, okay.
Yes, because I did some X-rays on this doctor before, and everything was covered. I'm on the medical aid that the network doctors you can go on a specific doctor and on that. I did all those things. Even when they said, okay, we need to do the X-rays because it was done before and I never had to pay anything, I went to do the X-rays. And now I get the SMS. So I'm like, why now? Why this time? I don't understand.
And your savings are intact and everything is sharp. Have you checked?
Yes.
Okay, then take it up with the doctor?
I got the SMS like today, so I'm shocked.
Ask the doctor. Ask the doctor, I've been here before, I've never had to pay before. They must then tell you what happened. If they say to you medical aid refused, then you then go to the medical aid. Start with the doctor.
Okay.
All right,
ma'am. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, Ntabi saying quickly, thank you, bye-bye, Dino. Where do people find you?
People can send us an email on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Alternatively, they can call us on 087-265-8010. Send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523.
Excellent. We're back tomorrow at 8. Thanks, everybody.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.